Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller, recording on Thursday, the 22nd of November, at 6:38 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. And a very happy Thanksgiving holiday to all of our American listeners. Now, this is a quiet day, as you'd expect, with the U.S. markets mainly closed. And nevertheless, though, we've seen a quietly firm tone generally. Most of the Asian stock markets were firmer. Exceptions, and there's an important exception, the China A-Shares Index actually fell, gave up approximately half of yesterday's upside key day reversal gains. So that's a disappointment, because we usually look for we prefer to see follow through the day after an important key, as that might well still be. But the follow through, of course, is a signal of the developing momentum that's actually occurring. But that has not happened, so we'll need to watch and see what actually happens to China. It's at a low level overall, but there's still some political uncertainties that may well be concerning investors. Now, also the Taiwan stock market in Asia is underperforming. But elsewhere, though, we've got a generally steady region, and the Hong Kong Hang Seng Index remains really very firm in a consolidation phase. Now, elsewhere, the European stock markets, it looks as if they've all closed with modest gains here today. Probably the biggest one looks like that's the Italian MIB index, up just over 1%. Decent rallies here, so nice follow through for that part of the world, and that makes a change from all the Sturm and Drom that we have seen in recent years. And Wall Street is, of course, closed, but Canada, Mexico, and Brazil all show some reasonable gains. Of those, the best are by Brazil currently, it's still trading, but currently by Mexico, which is presently up 0.9, nearly 1%. And Mexico has been one of the strongest stock markets in the world in recent years, and it shows an orderly overall upward trend. So I think that pace will continue. Usually a consistent trend, and you have to look at it to see if it is consistent. I look at it on a chart, of course. Usually that is a trend in motion, because nothing has happened to upset the participants who are fueling that trend. Now, elsewhere, in this quiet day overall, the U.S. dollar index is a little lower here. Sterling is a bit higher. I beg your pardon. Sterling is slightly lower at 159.35. The euro is a bit higher at 128.69. A little change in the Aussie. It's a fraction firmer, 1.384. The precious metals are quietly steady. Palladium is up $4 to $6.55. Silver is quietly steady, just about unchanged here at 33.44. Gold looks a little bit firmer, but only about a dollar at currently at 17.29 and change. And palladium unchanged here on the day. Elsewhere, we've seen mixed action in the commodity markets. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, I think the performance of stock markets is particularly interesting, and obviously what happens on Wall Street is going to be highly significant. But as I've said earlier in the week, we did see that downward acceleration within the correction following the Obama election victory. I attributed that mainly to some of the Democrats and particularly Republicans who had been thinking that Mitt Romney might have won, have been selling to lock in profits at the lower tax rates than we're going to see in the new year. Now, all that's done is bring forward some of that profit taking, and my view is that once we get into January, we will see, or before January, we may have already seen it start. We probably have already seen it start. In other words, people have sold, they've taken some of the big profits that they've got this year, will pay the lower tax rates of 2012, and then they've reopened those positions to not miss out on anything. And that's led to a steadier tone on Wall Street. And I think this so far, I said earlier in the week that it looked like we had a bottom of at least near-term significance, and I see no reason to change that view at this stage. Now, China, that disappointing move is going to be a bit of a drag on the Asian region generally. One of the points I've often made here is that China is now, I think, unquestionably, well, being the second largest stock market in capitalization terms in the world, it's probably also going to have a large influence. As a matter of fact, its influence may even be greater than the size of China's stock market, although the size is considerable and second only to Wall Street, of course. But while China's stock market is underperforming, this will cause additional concerns over the GDP prospects for that country, and inevitably they influence the region generally and beyond, as we see in mining shares. I've often mentioned that link, but a bullish performance by the Chinese A shares, which I think is going to, we are going to see over the medium term. I was thinking that we might actually see that to some extent over the shorter term, but that is not yet clear on the on the graphs, and we'll need some upside follow through to indicate that potential for the for the shorter term. But certainly, a stronger performance by the China A shares, I think, would put the wind behind leading mining shares for certain. I do think that is going to happen. As I say, it's just a matter of time. And one of the reasons I feel that way is because if you look at the Hong Kong Hang Seng Index, this really is quite strong overall. India also has picked up again, and it's getting what appears to be a quite narrow consolidation. If that continues, then we're going to see India moving upwards once again towards those tops, those prior tops up in the 20,000 region for the Hang Seng Index. Now, I'm writing today. I've reviewed some of the stock markets. I won't go into that, but I will mention that I'm writing about the precious metal sector. And I want to discuss that for a moment here, because although it is often mentioned at Fuller Money, I want to draw all listening subscribers' attention to the fact that we are now in the 15th month, and therefore in the latter stage of a similar lengthy medium-term corrective phase, which we have also seen several other times on the long-term chart. You'll be able to see that by the first chart that I put up in that sector, which is on a it's a 10-year chart and it's on a semi-logarithmic basis. And basically, we've seen these pauses. We get a good strong run to the upside. And then that lead spills over into a corrective phase. The first half of that is usually distribution with people moving out of gold. Second half is accumulation with people buying back into gold, and then it fuels another usually quite strong move to the upside over the months or sometimes even years that that actually follow. Are we on course to do that once again? Well, judging from the charts, yes, we are. Then I have to say, well, what's behind the charts? And we see all the quantitative easing that's actually occurring. And that's a powerful driver for precious metals, in my opinion. And therefore, with very low interest rates and with inflation pressures, well, they're building, but they're not causing any, or they're not causing very much overall anxiety at the moment. And particularly crude oil prices, which I reviewed yesterday, and they remain in a trading band. And while that persists, there is freedom for these central banks to continue with the QE, and that is a strong tailwind for precious metals. It also is a tailwind for stock markets, but I think it's particularly positive for precious metals over the medium to longer term. And I think that a number of investors, perhaps even some of the gold bulls who've been participating over the last decade or more, as I have been in this market, in this particular secular overall upward trend, it's when we're peering closely at the markets, it's easy to lose sight of the big theme and the big pattern. And I mentioned that we were in the 15th month since the last high in gold bullion. And on average, those previous pauses, well, tended to range, those medium-term corrections have lasted for about 21 months. And I think that we'll see something that approximates that, perhaps quite closely, but I expect gold and the other precious metals to move higher in a ranging fashion over those next few months with the resumption of the full bull market proper getting underway in 2013. Now, other factors here that if the US dollar tends to be soft, that will, of course, contribute to the move to the upside on gold in US dollars. I think that will be the case, and therefore I think that the best way, or certainly one of the best ways to participate in gold, is through the futures contracts. People often buy the metal, then you've got storage problems. And in other words, take physical make a physical purchase of the metal. That brings on the storage problems and costs. And even if that isn't does not perturb you, if you happen to be in a strong currency zone, you'll find your profits much reduced. Whereas if you deal in the futures contract, as I prefer to do, they're talking, of course, about the US dollar futures contract, then you'll get the full benefit of a soft dollar, if I'm right in that forecast. And really, what we've seen in recent years is that the dollar is generally soft. That's what the Fed wants. And the exceptions to that, and they include some sharp rallies, occur when there's an overall crisis mentality around the world and concerning markets. And some of the main contributors to that, well, the main contributor to that has been the European region, and people fortunately appear more relaxed about Europe. Europe's a long way from generating the growth that it needs to really resolve its overall problems, but they are at least moving ahead. The ECB has shown good leadership here overall. They have lurched around in Europe, but are more or less united on a path forward. So I don't think that Europe is going to be the distraction, the negative distraction that it has been in previous years. I don't think that will be the case during the rest of this year or next year. And that will be favorable for precious metals and also for many other stock markets around the globe. So it's not a bad outlook here overall, in my opinion. I have often mentioned the fact that I think that all this quantitative easing is creating a massive bubble in the bond markets, but there is no evidence that a bursting of those bond market bubbles is imminent, not least because the central banks keep buying them. And therefore, we have this period here which should be overall positive for global equities, and I think particularly positive for precious metals. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.